teacher who taught her everything she knows.
All right, take your Bibles and let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I could have finished John this morning, but the Lord laid something on my heart and I want to share with you. I believe there's, for the church in 2016, we don't really know what's ahead of us, but we do know the Lord's going to build his church through us. And we do know that he's going to continue to make us like Christ. And we do know that he's in charge. Regardless of what we see on the news and hear, everything's working according to his plan. But I felt it necessary to warn you about something that's going to be on the increase in every year, and that's what's called apostasy. And we're living in days of apostasy. How do we explain people turning their back on the church, never having any desire to be in church again? How do we explain the ineptness, the apathy, the unfaithfulness, and lack of commitment of so-called Christians? How do we explain preachers who used to preach, they no longer believe? They don't hold to the fundamentals of the faith. And they're out there doing something else and have denied the faith altogether. How do we explain that? Well, did they lose their salvation? Well, there's something else going on. There's a popular song out there that says, "These are the days of revival." But I submit to you that the Bible has a different outlook on that. There are people that are saying there's going to be a great spiritual awakening in America, that God's doing a new thing. And there will be pockets of revival, and there will be continue to be people saved. But if you look at our text this morning, it's going to be anything but a worldwide revival. The Bible says we're living in days of apostasy, and the only answer for us as God's children is to remain faithful to the Word of God and to the work of God. Now, we've always had New Testament apostates with us, but they never lived with us, and they're living with us now, and they're on the increase. So today, as we look at our text, I want to share with you three truths in our text in regard to the sin of apostasy. And I'll explain to you what that is in just a moment. You say, "Well, preacher, I came to be encouraged today." Well, I'm going to encourage you to be faithful, right? Amen. No matter what else and who falls around you, we need to be faithful to the Word of God and the work of God. Amen. So let's stand in honor of God's Word, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused, if it is be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." Father, I pray that as we look at this text this morning, that you teach us that there's not going to be a big crowd following you in the end time. And there's not going to be a big crowd following this church in the end time. But we are to be faithful. We are to know the Bible. We are to believe the Bible. And we are to practice the Bible, no matter the cost. As we see increased persecution against the church and individual Christians, let us know and remind us that our message is not popular with the lost ears. But Lord, thank you that you saved some. And we appreciate that. And we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. May be seated. First truth I want to share with you is on the screen there about apostasy. Apostasy should not surprise us. It should not surprise us. Notice verse 1 again. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Depart from the faith. That's that word apostasy. apostatize. It means to fall away or abandon the faith. To remove oneself from a position originally occupied to another place. These are those who Jesus described as rocky soil in the parable of the souls. Never fell on good ground, rocky soil, never took root. And it says when persecution comes because of the word of God, they fall away. Now there's great joy to start out with, right? They come in for 6 months, man, some of the most faithful people. And there's great joy. Next thing you know, when persecution comes into their life because of the word, it reveals and they fall away. An apostate is not a struggling believer. He's not a backslider. An apostate is one who willingly abandons biblical faith that he once professed. He is a pretender. He is one who rejects the very gospel he claimed to once believe, and he rejects the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an apostate. Judas was an apostate. Peter was a backslider. Okay? We're not talking about people here who lose their salvation. Remember, we're talking about people who continue in the faith, thus proving they're real. Evidence, evidence, evidence. Our faith is meant to be revealed by evidence. A regenerate heart, a transformed heart, shows itself as a believer, right? So this person here does not lose their salvation. By their falling away, they prove that they never possessed the faith that they once believed, okay? Now that's the difference, okay? And they're going to be on the increase, folks, in the church over and over. Now, people like Joel Osteen and people like, Kenneth Copeland, their crowds are going to increase because it's not built upon the foundation of solid teaching from Scripture, okay? But the true church, there's going to be people that do not want to hear and do not want to be committed to what it means to follow Christ. Amen. Now, what reveals them? Well, we don't know the heart, do we? But we know we can watch fruit, right? And we know if there's no fruit, there's no root, right? Now, that's profound, isn't it? If there's no root, there will not be any fruit. I got it mixed up, so I made a good out of it. Y'all catch that? Now, what reveals them? Well, number one, persecution reveals them. Do you think they're going to be coming to this church when people come in here and say it's going to cost you your life to worship together on Sunday? No, they're not. And then, so persecution reveals them. We saw that in the parable of the soul. And then lack of commitment. Their love for the world. They go back to the world because that's where their love is, right? Kind of like Demas. Their denial of the fundamentals of the faith. You know, there are liberal churches across our land today that don't believe that the first 11 chapters of Genesis are real. They don't believe they're historical. They believe there's a mythical Satan. They don't believe he's a real person. They don't believe that sin is really what it is. It's just something in your mind, and you kind of like Christian Science. They actually deny the virgin birth, the blood atonement, the bodily resurrection, his sinlessness. Him being God. They deny that and call themselves a church. You know, when a preacher gets up and all he has to do is talk about what he don't believe, I got trouble with that, right? So they deny the fundamentals of the faith. Their departure from the church reveals them. I want you to go with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. I'm going to try to quote it, and I want you to make sure I quote it right, okay? Go with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. If I don't quote it right, then you can, I'll let you stand up and repeat it, okay? Without me turning there, okay? 1 John chapter 2. They went out from us because they were not part of us. If they had been part of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out from us that they may be manifest, that they never were part of us. Did I get that right? Basically, Ken's version, okay? So a lot of times when people leave a church and they don't go anywhere else, that's probably something we need to pick up our ears on, okay? I know people leave churches and they go to other churches, and there's good reasons for that. And then some people go because they're just hopping from one church to another. But if your church is not holding to the doctrine of the faith and not trying to be a Bible church and go by it, then we don't need to be there. But the fact that they leave and never go to any other church and never have a desire to be in another church reveals that they never were part of us. Of course, the context here, 1 John is talking about false teachers. All false teachers used to be in a historical church, but they departed and said, well, you Christians, you missed the boat. There's been new revelation. You missed the boat here. You strayed from the way the New Testament church should have been. And they started their own little group. But you notice this about every cult. Now, y'all listen to me. Notice this about every cult. Every cult has a male, in the case of Mary Baker Eddy, has a female, but they have one charismatic leader who they follow their teachings. See, whose teachings do we follow? The God-man, Christ Jesus, amen? No man founded our church, right? Christ founded the church. And then also Scripture reveals them, as we're going to talk about in just a few moments here. So apostasy should not surprise us. We sat around and we said, gee, I wonder why in the world. I thought they were real. I mean, I knew that preacher was preaching the truth, and why now he don't even believe in the virgin birth? And we act like we're surprised by it. Right here in our text, Paul is telling Timothy, don't let it surprise you. They will be made manifest in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 is a parallel verse. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, grievous times, dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Can I get an amen there? Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Guess what that's talking about? Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That's not talking about physical. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For this sort, they are which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Next time you're going across the dial on your TV and you come across one of these cult teachers, and as they take the TV and span the audience, take note who is mostly in the audience. It's mostly women, right? And that's what these cult teachers do. Matthew 24 states that false Christ will deceive many. They're doing it now, and they're going to do it even more after the rapture. Peter and Jude and John all warned of these apostates. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 through 19 that we quoted a while ago. You see, there's going to be a shadows of apostasy right now in the church age. And it's going to go all the way up to the tribulation, all the way up to the rapture and the tribulation. And if you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you know that after the church is taken out, there's going to be full-blown apostasy. So you got the rapture, then you got the full-blown apostasy, then you got the revelation of the Antichrist. So we believe here, and we always have believed here, in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. The man of sin is not going to be revealed until the church be taken out. So apostasy should not surprise us. Then notice verse 1, latter part of verse 1, apostasy will grow worse. Look in verse 1, that he says, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So Paul gives us the window at which this apostasy will take place. The latter, the last times, the later times, all include the time between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. We are in the last days right now. It began with the first coming of Christ, and it's going to go all the way to his second coming, not the rapture, but it's going to go all the way to his actual revelation at the end of the tribulation period. That's the period of this window of the apostasy. And so the focus here in our text with Paul to Timothy is that it's going to escalate and get worse as we get closer to the rapture and the revelation of the Antichrist and the second coming of Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, 18. It is the last time or the last hour, as you have heard. Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many antichrists. An antichrist is nothing more than someone who is a counterfeit, who rejects Christ, who hates Christ, whereby we know that it is the last time. See? John says we're in the last time right now. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. When was he made manifest? In Bethlehem, right? The pre-existent Christ became flesh, right? At his first coming, he was manifest to us. Look in Matthew 12:45. It seems to to teach increased wickedness, and men's heart gonna grow more wicked and more wicked. Man, my heart, you know, I hate to read things about children, but there was something about, it was in somewhere in Florida, and it's always a man or a woman with their live-in. It's always that. They were trying to play a game late at night, and the two kids wouldn't go to bed. So they took the six-year-old, and I don't know if it's the live-in or if it's the real daddy, but he sat on the six-year-old on the couch while they played their game, and the boy suffocated to death. I'm telling you, I share that with you because who would have thunk it, right? Them people, I'm telling you, there's going to be the hardest, unless they repent and come to Christ, there's going to be the hottest hell for them there ever was. Would you agree with that? I have no time of day for anybody that abuses or kills a child. And y'all feel the same way, I know. So this apostasy will go worse. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, we're in the Laodicean church age now, last church age before the rapture. Indicates growing apostasy and lukewarmness as we get closer to the Lord's return. So apostasy should not surprise us. Secondly, apostasy will grow worse. And then lastly, apostasy comes from demon spirits through human agents. Let me take a sip of this water here. I'm not quite over. I know what y'all are all doing. Some of you are sitting out there and says, well, Brother Ken got the water in his hand. When is he going to take the drink? I know. I know y'all probably taking bets on that. But it's always through demon spirits. Every cult is from a demon spirit. It's from the pit of hell. And Satan uses false teachers, who is his agents, to propagate that lie. Look in verse 2 through verse 6. Speaking lies, and well, go back to the latter part of verse 1. Giving heed to seducing spirits. This is why John tells us in 1 John 4:1, to test the spirits, right? Everybody that says they're religious doesn't mean they're religious. Everybody that says they have God in them doesn't mean they have God in them. Everybody that says they're spiritual doesn't mean they're spiritual, right? It's got to meet the parameters of Scripture. And he says there in verse 1, doctrines of devils. Not doctrines from God, but doctrines of devils. They are behind every cult, okay? Are y'all listening to your pastor? They are behind every cult. He says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused is to be received with thanksgiving. You know, the Seventh-day Adventists won't eat ham because they're trying to work their way to heaven by having Christ plus keeping the dietary laws of the Old Testament. The trouble with that is everything is clean now. Amen? Peter's vision, Christ, everything is clean now. You can eat what you want. You know, if you choose not to eat ham because of the sodium, that's fine. But don't eat it because you think you're going to work your way to heaven. Right? And the trouble with that is if you're going to have Christ plus the law, and Christ came to fulfill the law, he came to complete the law, he did for us what we could not do. He kept the law in perfect righteousness. And the trouble was that if you think you can go to heaven by keeping Christ and keeping the law, then if you disobey one aspect of the law, you've damned your soul to hell forever. We go to heaven on Christ's righteousness. He kept the law for us, right? And then it goes on there, and he says in verse 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And he's talking to the minister, if thou be put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in good words and faith. So that's what I'm doing today. And of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now let's look at this. Apostasy comes from demon spirits through human agents. And I want you to notice three things here in verses 1 through 6. Number one, they give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Behind every cult, there's a demon. Okay? Behind every false teaching, there's a demon. What does that mean, to give heed to seducing spirits? It means to pay attention to or devote to oneself to. Cling to something. The Holy Spirit leads men to saving faith while the demons lead men to damning error, right? And then they turn aside to follow these deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils or demons, and they are basically fallen angels behind every false religion. And false religions are really worshiping the demons that are behind the teachings, see? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." You see, folks, when you talk about people caught up in cults, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then, secondly, in verse 2, they have a conscience seared with a hot iron. Their conscience is burned and numbed, cauterized, destroyed. That's why they can do some of the things they do and don't feel any conviction. That's what sin will do when it's not confessed. Repeated sin not confessed, you'll begin to become calloused in your heart, and you'll be cauterized to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. They feel no guilt or remorse as they teach their false doctrine. And then in verses 3 through 5, they set up their own human means of salvation. Now, in this particular church here at Ephesus, he talks about false teachers here that were teaching that you be spiritual by avoiding marriage and abstaining from certain foods. So they rejected divine revelation for their own man-made rules and regulations. That's important, because this is called legalism. Legalism is making, the preacher makes his own rules and regulations and say, "We're going to be in fellowship with you, and you're going to be saved, and you're going to be spiritual if you keep my rules and regulations." No, it's the Bible, is it not, church? We don't make our own rules and regulations. And they're easy to detect. All you got to do is know your Bible, right? You remember the fourfold test I've given you over the years? And I want to share it with you because I'm going to adapt the fourth one. This is the easy test you can put to every man, every teaching, every movement, and deciding, is this of God or this is not of God? Number one, the Savior test. To you, who is Jesus? If they say anything other than the eternal Son of God who became flesh, the pre-existent Christ who became flesh and died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day, is in heaven right now, and talking about all those other things I talked about, the virgin birth, the blood atonement, and his deity. If they say anything other than that, then they're not of God, okay? That's the Savior test. The salvation test. How is a person saved? If they say anything else other than by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone, then they're working, trying to work their way to heaven. The Bible doesn't teach works righteousness. It teaches grace righteousness. We're saved totally by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Amen? And if they add one work to it, and I know I'll make somebody mad here, but this is the way it is. If you add baptism to it, you've created a works righteousness. Well, you've got to be saved. To be saved, you've got to be baptized. No, you're baptized because you're saved. Amen? If they add one work, no matter how good they live, no matter how good you see these commercials, no matter how solid they look, if they're wrong about Christ, they're wrong about everything else, right? We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's the fourth one. You can put this test to anybody. It's the sin test. Do they preach again sin, okay? Do they preach against sin? Do they preach repentance? Do they preach condemnation in hell? Do they preach holiness? And if you'll watch these jokers on TV, you will not hear those in their message, right? That is a test of a false prophet, of an apostate who has a following. So what are we to do? Well, in these last days, we need to be trained and we need to be nurtured. You need to know your Bible so that you can detect almost immediately something like this, right? And be protected and equipped for this escalating apostasy. So it's going to shake our world as you begin to see people fall away. It's going to shake your world and say, well, am I saved? You know? And it's going to shake your world, and you need to know where you stand here. And I'm going to close this. We got time. Go over to Jude, if you will, right before Revelation. I'll share with you more about how to stand this when it comes. Look in Jude, little book right before the book of Revelation. It tells us how to live in these last days of apostasy. Because if you're living in a world like what we call amillennialist, who believe they're going to bring in the kingdom, You're living in the wrong world. Look in verse 17. Let's begin there of Jude, and we're almost done. What do we do? Well, number one, remember the word of God, verse 17 and 19. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Now listen to this in verse 19. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. So first thing is, remember the word of God. Second thing is, remain faithful, verse 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Remain faithful. Edify one another in prayer, obedience, and worship, and service, and looking for his return. And then number three, what else do? We reach out, verse 22 and verse 23. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. You don't hear that preached much today, do you? Folks, if they don't bring the doctrine of Christ, we're not to have anything to do with them. Okay? Because it can happen. You can be spotted and defiled by them. That's how we do it. Remember the word of God, remain faithful, and reach out. So apostasy should not surprise us. Number two, apostasy will grow worse. And then number three, remember its source, demon spirits through human agents. Father, we thank you for your word today. And as Miss Wanda comes to play, and as everybody stands, everybody's praying, decisions that need to be made today. Maybe to receive Christ as Lord and Savior publicly before men. It may be to come in obedience and be baptized, identify with Christ as Lord and Savior publicly. It may be just to come and unite with this church, to yoke with this church and be a part of this church and minister with this church and serve with this church, this local fellowship called Trinity Baptist Church. Maybe there's other needs. Maybe there's other prayers for other people that are caught up into this. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar. Whatever it is, this is the time designed by God, not man, to make decisions. Eternal decisions. And that's why Christians are praying. They're praying for decisions that need to be made.